Hey everybody, it's Eric Balance coming to you with the Resilient Minds podcast, where I feature beautiful entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts in their field, where they help us discover their X factor, their experience of life, only to discover how they were able to accomplish and find out their Y factor, their big Y, their purpose in life. So join me as we get to discover the beauty of our minds and how can we really continue to go after the biggest and most wildest dreams while we continue to pursue and manifest our greatest intelligence that comes from the heart. Also, if you haven't, go check out the new alignment course that I've created at www.ericbalance.com/alignment, A-L-I-G-N-M-E-N-T. See you on the show.
Welcome, everybody, to the Resilient Minds podcast. I'm here with Johan Van Buren. Is it Van Buren? Did I pronounce it right?
Okay.
Yes. I'm here, really excited. You know, the first time I saw Johan, it was on Instagram. You know, Mel Robbins shared a video that really inspired me because of like who you are and how you show up with your authentic perspective. And I love that because I can really resonate with that, brother. And it's like this authenticity, this vulnerability, this strength, this courage is something that I think is really important right now for many men and women to come out and open themselves up. But yeah. Before we go up into your story and everything like this, bro, just tell me a little bit about yourself. Tell everybody that's listening, to the podcast a little bit about like, where do you come from? What have you been up to these last years to really develop yourself and grow?
Well, see, my background is I was born in South Africa and I grew up there and I grew up in an Afrikaans family. So back in the days where I grew up, South Africa was a very harsh country in respect to all sort of aspects of life. You know, as a white South African, obviously it was in the apartheid era that I grew up. However, I wasn't really much exposed to that, as where I grew up was very much of a farm life as well. So a lot of the kids that was my friends on the farm were the workers' kids, which were black kids. So I didn't really have that sort of dynamic of black and white shouldn't really mix. But then obviously when I went to school and to high school and stuff, that became very transparent that it's there was a big divide. But then also in the aspect of where men back in South Africa in those days weren't really allowed to show the vulnerable side of themselves, as to say, where the saying comes in, big boys don't cry, and you don't really talk about anything sort of depressing, if you know what I mean, because you it's very easy to get bullied. And I was bullied a lot as a kid for having that side of me, and it was very suppressed to try and sort of fit in with the other boys, as to say. And also, you know, I had a big traumatic experience as a child where later in life, when I was about 11, 12, my grandmother told me that my father who brought me up is not my real biological father, you know. So that for me was a big, almost like a punch in the gut, as a trust thing that was broken in me. However, I still till today don't see my dad who brought me up as not being my real dad. You know, we've gone through that process and everything. And I actually did meet my biological dad. But for me, that was a big thing that really traumatized me. And I didn't actually realize that until much later in life, where I have gone from relationship to relationship and almost self-sabotaged everything in my life, as to say, not just the relationship, but everything in my life, i.e. businesses I had, friendships I've had, anything that was good in my life came to a crux where I would tell myself, I'm not good enough and I don't deserve this, you know? So like I say, self-sabotage was a big thing in my life, that everything was basically demolished. So I came over to the UK at the age of 23, came over to come and play rugby here originally, because I played semi-professional rugby. So I was only supposed to be in the country for about 3 years, but I was in the country literally 3 months when I met my first wife. And yeah, unfortunately that didn't work out, but we've got two beautiful sons out of the relationship. They're big now, they're 17 and 18. And my healing journey actually only really started about 10 years now, that I really came to a point in my life where I was almost in a depressive state, where it's like I started realizing that things go really well for me, but only up to a certain point, and I would lose everything. And but because of my nature and the South African nature, you know, is we grew up that if you don't work very hard, you won't succeed in life. So I always had that drive in me to get to the top. So, and that's why I've also in my life, I've done so many different things work-wise, because if this doesn't work, I'll try that. And if that doesn't work, I'll try this. But yeah, so about 10 years ago, I started on the journey. And then I would say probably the last 5 years was that I really delved into it. And then about 3 years ago, that's when I went onto a Dr. Joe Dispenza retreat. And that completely changed my life around. You know, I sort of read The Secret and stuff before I actually went on these retreats. And there's another guy, a big YouTuber, American guy. I can't remember his name now. Doherty, I think his surname is. But yeah, he's a big manifestation guy, young lad that talks about these sort of stuff about The Secret and manifestation and just bringing all sort of positivity into your life. And I understood that concept because of The Secret, but it was one of those things, again, is I knew about it, but I didn't really go into much practice about it myself. But like I say, and then when I went in to do Dr. Joe's retreat, the penny actually dropped and I was like, okay, this is the real deal. And and unfortunately during that time as well, is my second marriage broke down. And I've learned a lot from that. And I've actually, and that's when I made that video initially, and that's when I moved up to Scotland as well, because I've only been in Scotland for 2 years now. We moved up at the beginning of the first lockdown in 2020, March, April, May time of 2020, when I moved up to Scotland. And so I've got a little girl, she's nearly six now in April.
Before you go, I'm just curious to know, bro, before you go on to, I just wanted to ask about the, you know, the reason why you decided to go into like this deeper journey, the reason why you decided to like ask yourself these more questions, because I've been to Joe too. And, you know, I've been like a student of Tony for years, you know, learned a lot. And there's something inside of us that always like, and it was for me, at least I'm asking, you know, like for me, it was like something inside of me was like, I need to learn. I need to get like curious.
I think for me personally, it was the emotional trauma that I was carrying inside me, that whatever I tried, you know, you can try and I've had lots of money, but that didn't make me happy. And I lost all of that. And I had lots of wealthy and influential friends and I still got a lot of them, but that didn't make me happy. And in the end, I discovered that the only happiness that can come is from within. You've got to make yourself happy within yourself first before you can then go out and live life to your full extent, if you know what I mean. So absolutely, it was that trauma that I had. Although I made, like I say, the big thing for me was my father and my mother that almost, I would say, lied to me about the fact that he was my real dad. You know, there's a long story to that, but they wanted me to be older before they told me. And my grandmother just thought that they were never going to tell me because she's old school South African, you know, and they take things upon themselves to do, etc. So, yeah, so that for me was a big trauma period in my life that I never healed. So by healing that and actually delving into that emotion that came up, asking myself, why is that coming up? Why does that keep coming up in different aspects? No matter what route I tried to take, I needed to heal that first and get happy within myself of who I am and not trying to be someone else, you know, because that's a big thing. I've got a very addictive personality. So if I see someone like let's say Tony Robbins, I'm like, oh, I want to be like him. But you can aspire to be like someone, but you will never be that person. You have to be authentically yourself. And you can live on the same principles, which is very important, but you have to be your own person. And that's what I realized. And you can only do that once you make peace with who you are and accept your flaws, but then also go into those flaws and say, right, I'm going to correct those flaws and become the person I'm supposed to be. And that was the big thing for me, is the trauma that needed to be healed.
Remembering who we are.
Exactly. 100%. 100%.
Right? Like coming back to like these responsibilities that we have to go inside of ourselves to discover the grace of our teacher, our like infinite eternal teacher. And I think that's like what I'm hearing too, is we're never going to be like perfect, because perfect doesn't exist. But having the courage to go inside and say, hey, yeah, like maybe I should look at this a little bit closer, or maybe taking a more a different approach to solving a different problem, or creating a solution in a different way, is how we can continue to kind of evolve to the next level of our next stage of our development. And I remember sitting with Tony. It's so funny you say this. So I remember sitting with Tony and asking him, saying, Tony, I'm gonna continue your legacy.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, Eric, you're gonna create your own fucking legacy. It was like it was a moment of like wake up, you know, and it was a moment of grace that allowed me to discover, wow, you know, like we all have so much gifts. And yeah. You know, we look up to people and we want to like compete or things like this, but there is no competition. We are all so unique in our own way. And
you know, that's the big thing I think amongst men though, Eric, is the competitive side, you know, and that for me is a very valuable lesson that I've learned, you know, because like I said earlier, the South African men side of thing, you know, the competition amongst men as a South African is so intense. And I mean, I would obviously always go say, I would guess in Poland and especially the Eastern European countries is a very harsh environment.
Really, anywhere, bro. Like I'm noticing it too. It's like, it doesn't matter where you are. It continues to like, it doesn't matter how much love, how much excitement, how much creativity you really genuinely want to bring to the table. It's so, because it's so programmed in the mind. And yeah. Your intention is so pure and you want to really, really support. And it's like pushed away. You're too much. You're too this, you're too this. But what they're really seeing is the limitation in themselves and the gifts in you.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Exactly. And also what I feel is men, there's still a massive percentage of men out there that is not willing to show the vulnerable side of themselves. You know, they see that as a weakness. And then actually, it's probably the biggest strength that you can have is if you can show that vulnerable side of you, and you can in touch. Because I think if you can be vulnerable and you can not that you're going to be walked over, but you can show that vulnerability of, and that's what I try to do with all my social media platforms, especially TikTok. That's my major platform that I post stuff on. I've just really started doing Instagram intensely about maybe 6 months ago that I really started posting a lot of stuff on there again. But all the messages that I try to relay as well is lessons that I basically learned, or something that came up for me in that day. And I'm like, okay, this is the emotion that's come up. What is that emotion, that energy in motion? What is that teaching me? What is that trying to show me? What is that vulnerability that I need to go into? And what is the message that I need to take from this? And that's what I try to bring out into the Joe public who's going to be watching that, whether it's a reel or story or TikTok post or whatever. But also, it comes from a place of authenticity. You know, it's not something that, I mean, anyone can go and read a quote and go, oh, that's a brilliant quote. But 2 minutes down the line, you know, that's it's gone in and gone out there. They kind of forget about that because they are back in that almost state of fear. Whereas I feel what I do is showing the vulnerable side of me plus the authenticity of that video to show, right, this is not just a message that I'm portraying, but this is actually what's happened to me. And to show you as a man, it's not just aimed at men, but as a man that, yes, I have been at that low point. However, I've progressed to this now, and you can do the same. You know, and yes. If I can just help one guy out there or a woman out there, it doesn't matter. You know, that I feel my job then is complete. You know, just saving one soul, that's all it's about. You don't have to save the world. If the world follows, by all means, let's save the world. But if you can save one other person and they can save one other person, before you know it, I mean, the community will just keep growing.
And this is the thing, is this is what I love, bro, is like opening up and being, you know, vulnerable in all our forms. I think that, you know, you talked about business and things like this. Like, business has been like this, especially during these last little months. But the beautiful thing that I've learned around that is how much to trust as well. Right? To have faith, to really believe, to trust in the work that I'm doing on myself, you know, because I really believe that, like, the abundance that's being created around us is in direct a correlation with the experience that I'm having within myself as well. And it's so beautiful, like, how to understand that there's so much limitations that have been put upon us by the masculine desires or the masculine misinterpretations, whether they're male or female. You know, really focusing on, like, power, hunger, you know, and greed, which is what the economic disparity over the courses of, you know, thousands of years have been believed to, like, be the focal point of life. And exactly. Where the true value of abundance is in the energy, the happiness, the joy, the love that we give to each other, the presence, the attention. That's and that to me is a way that we, you know, it's going to take some time. Of course, we have to use the current tools and the current fiat and the current currency to get to the stage where the real abundance will transform and it'll be a different level of. But I do believe that, you know, as this continues to unfold and we continue to all work together, that there's going to be a change of currency, a change of value added to the exchange of value with people. And that's what's going to bring real value to the whole entirety of, you know, where we live, our communities, our families, our planet, essentially, eventually.
The greed side of it is so toxic. It is so toxic because also, I mean, if you look at the greed side of things, is what happens is once you've got that demon inside you, and I've had that when I had businesses and I was doing well, I was constantly thinking ahead rather than enjoying that moment when I had that and going, right, living in that specific moment, regardless whether it's a business that sells tobacco or sells spiritual books or whatever you do as a business. That business, once you get that greed in you, like I say, you just start living in the future and like, how much more money am I going to make? How much more wealthy am I going to get? Instead of living, and that's when everything just starts getting out of sync. In my personal experience, I started literally wanting to run before I could walk. And before I knew it, I was like, everything's gone. And I didn't actually enjoy anything I had in that moment. You know, it was gone like that. And that brings that back. You've got to try and stay in that moment, regardless of your situation, whether you're wealthy, poor. You know, if you can live in that moment, you will actually realize that, it's like you said, the love, the abundance, the joy, everything is right here with you now. And once you can realize that, you know, you can just go so much further in life. And you'll attract, you'll just attract all of everything you want in. Because once you've got that love and everything literally bursting out of you, it's actually scary how much joy and everything else that you want in your life will come towards you. It's phenomenal. And that's one of the things I realized literally after I did Dr. Joe and my journey continued. And this is where I'm now in Scotland, right? So I'm up in the mountains. And like I said earlier, when I've knocked up my daughter, I'm literally out hiking, I'm climbing Monroes, you know, I'm looking for old castles, and I'm literally just out in Mother Nature, which for me is one of the biggest healing or healers out there, whether it's hugging a tree or climbing a mountain or swimming in a cold lake, you know, all of those elements out there is what feeds the soul. And yeah, so I love being outside, man. It's such a healing journey to have. And I'm very blessed to be up in Scotland where I am currently. And it's wonderful.
Brother, I really resonate with that, you know, spending the time in nature and like really feeling our, like the grace of you know, our greatest spirit, our great spirit, our eternal teacher, like coming through us as us. And then recognizing that this is just our big playground, you know, like we're here to play and have a big, good time. And I think that's what's helped me stay present, you know, as a man, like growing up, I really learned how to reverse the aging paradigm and recognize that, hold on, I just want to go and play, you know, like I want to go and like, I want to go and play on the playground, and I'm going to call this castle Mother Earth, you know, like this is okay. And it's the biggest playground on the planet. And how can we all play together is the next step, you know?
Very true. Very true. But also, you know, what I've sort of, if I look back at my life as a kid, and I compare myself now, because I'm 47 now, nearly 48 at the end of this year. And I look back at my uncles, specifically the male side, and my dad and my dad's friends, when they were my age, right? Because they weren't as awakened as we are now, there's a massive difference that I if I look back and think back now of how they were, and even how old they looked at that age compared to what we are now. You know, I honestly think there's a massive shift in the universe amongst the humankind of actually waking up and realizing, like, we have got to work on that aspect rather than back in those sort of days. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and right now there's a huge shift where people are, you know, there's this transition from this like three-dimensional to this five-dimensional perspective, and really like jumping into this understanding that, you know, we're living in heaven on earth, you know, like, because when we understand and we get take away this perspective of separation, and we realize that, you know, the spiritual experience of our lives is really to go into that essence of ourselves, and our energy can really connect to our highest level of self. And as a result, we remember that joy, we lock it into our body. And if we lock it into our body, and we do that through the essence of movement, creativity, dance, expression, love, light, joy, you know, dance and play, and movement, like, and being in nature, then we can lock in the understanding that, wait, hold on a second, we are here now, we do live in heaven, we currently are recognizing that this is the space that we're in. And what we need to do is we need to like look out and be present, so present to the trees, the water, the people, the energy of each other, so that we can recognize that it's from this capacity that we get to then create in the emergence of each other and coming together of each other. And so I'm really excited about it, because I feel like Ibiza is a really huge foundational point of that creativity for me and for many others, and bringing all together to really bring this model of what's possible here in Ibiza on the island. And then as a result, duplicate that in all the communities and duplicate that in all of the rest of the planet, because people will be able to see and understand and say, wow, I can live like that. I actually don't have to be fucking exhausted and upset and pissed off and miserable every day of the week. I can live in harmony with the people around me and support each other and love each other and laugh and like be just happy all the time. This is what's happening.
100%. You know, one of my biggest teachers at the moment is actually my little girl. You know, because I honestly, mate, if we can actually adapt to be more like children in that aspect of creativity, mindset, enjoying life, you know, honestly, I will give her a box. Eric, I swear to God, mate, she will entertain herself with that box for hours. You know, and she will like, Daddy, let's make pretend this is our castle, and we'll hide from the monsters. And you know, we'll then we are now stronger than the monsters, and we've taken over this castle. And then it's a den, and then it's a car that she's pretending to be in, and then it's a bus, and you know, just that again, going back into that sort of vulnerable side of being open to anything. You know, you can create anything in your mind. And that is what I look at her some days when I've got her, and I'm just in awe of that. I literally aspire to be like that more, you know, and when I am like that with her and without her as well, I am just so at peace and just enjoying life, regardless of whether I'm out hiking in the mountains or sitting on my laptop doing work or whatever. But if you've got that mindset, the world's your oyster.
100%, brother. It's, you know, it's so funny you talk about the castle. So to me, like, I really love, like, you know, this experience, like the lion heart, the king, the experience. And as a child, it's always been something for me that, like, I'm like, wow, like, this, so, you know, a man of the people and like looking after and like taking care of the planet and like, but looking after people, all people, you know. And here in Ibiza, there's this amazing castle. There's this huge castle. And it's absolutely epic. And I remember feeling super called to it when I was here, and just like wanting to go to the top of the castle. And I remember doing an ayahuasca ceremony with Nina Wapai Damata here. And we were singing and praying like so loud to the forest and to the water, to the sky. And I remember the day after, like in the morning, actually, when it finished, the integration of that expression of that feeling of king, I needed to go right to the castle. I needed to go stand at the top of the castle. I needed to walk amongst, like, I was smiling. I had dinner. I like really fucking embodied it. You know, I locked it into my system, because from this is like, this is who we are. We're like, we are the kings and queens, the sovereigns of our sacred sovereigns of ourselves. And if we recognize that we live every single day in this beautiful giant castle called planet Earth, like, to me, this is where everyone can really truly step through and have a discovery of what possibilities, what unlimited possibilities they do by dreaming. Because forever, I feel like I'm the biggest kid in the world. All I've ever done was dream. And I've had enough courage to like just keep going, even in times of uncertainty. And this is what I feel like the strength of a child is the true vulnerable strength. And you're right. Like, we have to continue to bring ourselves back to that inner peace, that inner child, which is why now more than ever, we need to step up and stand up and set new standards for our children so that we don't continue to allow the other side of the coin to dictate the story, the fallacy that has been being dictated for centuries, for thousands of years.
That's so true. Because you know, I actually found out, because I did a bit of emotional freedom technique, the tapping. I don't know if you've ever heard of tapping, EFT. Yeah. So I did that therapy as well. And I actually carried trauma from my grandparents, from my granddad, that came through generations. It's like you just mentioned, you know, it's like, yeah, there's so much trauma from the past that we hold on to. That's not even ours. It's not even our fucking responsibility, but we carry that shit. It's not our fault,
but it is our responsibility to shift it. It's our responsibility to look at it.
Absolutely.
And have the ability to like say, hey, like, what can I do to step away from it and let it go, surrender it, honor it, forgive it, because forgiveness is forgiving. It's like literally to give.
That's it, 100%. Because that shit will just drag you down, man. You've got to get rid of that. I had a massive. I went to Peru. Well, I did ayahuasca in Peru, and I did that 4 or 5 months before I actually moved up to Scotland. So that was one of the last. After that, I did a breathwork course, but the ayahuasca retreat I was on for 10 days was also one of the big shifts that happened for me when I did the ayahuasca. How did you find it?
So ayahuasca for me was a really powerful has been a really powerful teacher. The first time I've done it was like last year in October, like not this October, but the one prior. Uh-huh. And it was in, I did it in Mexico, in Tulum.
Uh-huh.
And then I really got called to like some of the Brazilian, the Honey Queens. And for me, it was like this expression of like dance and play. And yeah. So the first couple ones, like it was a lot of healing that I needed to go through. Like, so like yeah. really connecting back to like the Divine Mother, the Sacred Feminine, yeah. really internalizing, okay, like I'm enough, you know, I'm worthy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm ready to step into it. And yeah. then the other ones, the ones since, it's been more of a like of an opportunity to go into spirit and celebrate. And yeah. celebrate, you know, because at the end of the day, people forget that the sacredness also has such a beautiful sense of humor. You know, like it doesn't, like it's like we need to be happy, like our creator, our eternal teacher wants us to be happy. That's why we are here, you know. And uh-huh. you know, sometimes the sagrada or sacredness, it's taken too seriously and taken out of context.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of fear, and that's based off of, again, coming back to this masculine egoic perspective to create separation so that it doesn't actually give us the opportunity to fully be because, uh-huh. and trust.
100%. Have you ever heard of the guys in the States called Sacred Sons?
Yeah, so Nathan Kohlerman, he's coming on the podcast tomorrow. Oh, really? Yeah, he's coming on tomorrow.
I love those guys. I love yeah. they're phenomenal, aren't they? I'd love to go on one of their retreats. I mean,
you know what? It'd be so cool if we did one here in Ibiza. I'd love to
organize. Honestly, if you do one there, I'll be there. I'll be there 100%. Yeah, like, when I've watched these guys online and I see their retreats where they've got all the drums, and because I've got my own drum just back yeah. there. And
it's about the heart, you know, like stepping into the
heart. When I beat that drum of mine at home here, and you can just feel that vibration going through you. But when I see all those guys together and they do all those sort of wrestling and man, and they just, oh yeah, it's a phenomenal experience. It must be. But I love those guys. They're awesome.
100%. Nathan's, yeah. So Nathan's coming on tomorrow. It's so funny that you brought him up. Like, there is no synchronicity, of course, because it's like everything's happening for a reason. It's so funny.
Of course, man. Of course. 100%. Yeah.
So, I'll connect you guys too as well. So you guys are able to connect with each other too. I'll connect you both.
Oh, perfect. That'd be great. Awesome, man. Yeah. But yeah, no, definitely. If they do come to Ibiza, let me know. I'll be on the first flight out. I'll be the first
yes.
one.
To
let me in.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. We do it all together. It'd be nice to have them, you know, like I'll invite and see what happens with the possibility there. Cause I really believe that this is something that we can collectively do. And, you know, doing the sacred work with men, the sacred sons, you know, doing the sacred work with women, and then amalgamating the togetherness, the sovereignty of them both is really something that I feel is so important, because the sacred union that I really sense this. And again, this is like just from my personal experience, is the whole of ourselves. So when we can understand that we are full in our own capacity, we can show up to anything without any expectations, without needing to be somebody's property or being or asking somebody to be our property. You know, like my wife, my all of these things to me are a box. And I feel like, you know, we all deserve this sovereignty and allowed to be present by present, because life is an altar and every moment is a prayer, you know. Right. And so if we recognize these presence, it's the greatest gift, brother.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. But you know, it's so nice to connect with like-minded people as well, who's on the same frequency and the same level as you, who actually understand what you're talking about. Because I find that very difficult sometimes if I try to explain my experience and what I go through and what I've been through and what I'm still learning every day to someone who's not really understanding it or who's set in their ways. I do find that sometimes a little bit of a struggle block for me to sort of really get through to them. But again, I've actually had to step back and say, right, it's one of those scenarios, you know, you can bring a donkey to the water, but you can't make him drink, you know. You've just got to let them be and find their own way in life. But you live by example. And if they can then understand and look and go, actually, do you know what that guy is saying might sound like a load of bullshit to me. But look at his life, look at how he lives and look at what he's achieving by doing that. So maybe there is some truth behind what he's saying, you know? And so, yeah, that's, but I do find that that's something that I struggle with sometimes as well. You know, I get very frustrated sometimes, or to get my message across, but it's one of those things that comes up that I'm going, okay, hold on. There's some more work to do there. You know, you have to delve into that and go, right, what is this teaching me? Why do I still get frustrated? Why is this annoying me? Why do I get angry about it? And then, yeah, so I go into that, and it's an important lesson.
That is amazing lesson, bro. I feel like I have definitely spent a lot of time, you know, especially at the beginning, you know, to learn like of how to really check in to make sure that it was coming from a pure place, because you look at the reflection and people are like, oh, you're to this. You're like, holy shit, like maybe I am. And you sit there and you're like, wow, okay, let's redo the work. Let's continue to recalibrate and check in. And then once you kind of know, once there's this like just truth in knowing, you just step into it. And so I really believe that there's two components to it. There's like this moment of like honoring each person in a conversation. And then there's one where where you're just like, I'm here.
Yeah.
Listen to me, polarize away from me or to away from me or to me. And it's your choice. And I love you regardless, but I'm here, you know, here, you know,
exactly.
And it doesn't matter. And you shout from the top of the rooftop, on top of your castle, top of whatever. And as a result, there's this like it becomes this ability to fly between all of the dimensions, because you're not only able to go deeper with the people that you polarize closer, but you're also being willing by who you are and how you live your life to go through the dimensions that are like, wow, he's really like, or she's really like living that or being trusting.
Yeah. You know what, for me, it's very similar to what you're saying. There is a thing that really got to me in the beginning is when I started posting a lot of these sort of things, I had a lot of negative comments and stuff like that. And that used to really affect me, you know, and in the end I had to just go, do you know what? It's not a reflection of me. It's a reflection of them. Like we said earlier, is what's lacking in them, and they are actually protruding that out to you. It's almost like a sickness that they then want you to have as well. And I had to literally step away from that sort of toxic environment and go, right, that's not a true reflection of what I'm saying to you. It's actually what you're saying to me, and it's your reflection. So, yeah, and it's like you say, you either polarize towards me or away from me. So that was another big valuable lesson.
This projection too, by the way, I think is really beautiful to pay attention to, as like, because it also allows you to have discernment. So, you know, when people are projecting to you, bro, like, or to me, or like how I feel sometimes, the projection allows me to say, okay, is this in the highest alignment? Am I being what's being projected to me, or do I need to step into my like heart's truth and actually express what needs to be shared, because I'm feeling out of alignment if I just accept that. And so this is something that I've noticed in myself again, because as I continue to like tap in my, like I'm a manifester by human design. So my ego is in my heart space. So I know that if it's intuitively aligned, and it's connected to my heart and it means a lot to me, that I need to share it with fire and passion and also be powerfully contained, because my throat chakra is super open. So being powerfully contained, so making sure that I share it with compassion, right? Yeah. It's something that I'm still learning, you know, because I'm human. So it's
brother.
Right, exactly. You know, so this to me has become like the greatest lesson, is like also the projections of others, especially as you start to go deeper, as both of us know, like the depth that you start to understand that it's the actual I speaking to you through the person, you know, it's God's grace coming through the other person to you so you can learn. Because we are one. And then as you listen, as you pay attention to that, you can start seeing, okay, if I'm listening to this, who's speaking to me? Who's really speaking to me? know? And to me, that's become the greatest gift, is like literally listening to pay attention, but then asking myself, if I'm in true alignment, if I'm in true alignment, am I willing to step forward and say, I disagree? Because at the end of the day, the creator, the eternal teacher, asks us to trust in our hearts and the intelligence of it.
But that's a big thing. You know what I had to learn myself is, don't listen to respond, listen to understand. Because a lot of times what we do is we listen and we just want to fire out responses, and we want to interrupt that person who's speaking already before we actually listen to the whole thing they're trying to tell you or say to you or bring their opinion across. We literally listen to respond. And so by doing that, you don't even take in what that person is saying to you. You know, and massive, massive lesson that I'm still learning today. I find myself sometimes interrupting people, like, just because I want to say what I want to say, instead of actually really listening and going, okay, I understand that. I respect what you're saying. I value your opinion, and let's debate this now, rather than just going bang, 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 and fire responses back.
I think that's such a huge, huge point, and, you know, something that I can definitely always learn more of. I feel like this, has there been a conflict that you've been through or an experience that you can maybe like explain that has allowed you to really tune in to first of all, because I believe that we can be in disagreement, but in tremendous rapport, right? Like, this is what can transition in the way that our government bodies or our, you know, all these, you know, leaders are really transitioning. I think that the sovereignty of it is like, how can I lead from a place of compassion, maybe even disagree, but have more rapport with the people.
I understand that. I agree with that.
So I guess, like, have you had like conflicts? Because, you know, conflict is inevitable, and I feel you know, people have different opinions, especially as you navigate these different kind of belief systems and the way that we're able to listen and speak to each other, because people are from different worlds, have a different map of the world, have different 100%. Opinions towards you, and we need to respect all of them, right? Like, because that's, we assert our own boundaries and respect others.
Yes, I feel like what I've learned, and I mean, it's like we keep saying, you always keep learning, but the older I got, the more things have sort of started to become more of a reality to me, in the sense that the older they get, the wiser you become, right? And you as a person need to understand that whoever you might be talking to, like you say, they might be from a different culture, a different ethnicity, a different background. They had a complete different upbringing to you as an individual. You might come from a super wealthy family that's very spiritual, and you've been exposed to all walks of life, whereas this other person might just be coming from like a very strong Jewish family, and that is all they believe and understand. And then if you try to sort of talk about different aspects, they're going to come block down. They wouldn't really understand that. But you've got to have that compassion, and you've got to have that understanding of going, I respect what you're about, and like I said, it's all about compassion. Once you've got that compassion in your heart, you won't just react. You will listen. You will try and understand, and especially trying to understand their values and where they come from. And then you can try and integrate what you're saying to almost compensate and work with them from what their beliefs are, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
So it's almost like a catch-22. You blindside them.
I love it. And do you have any like example like that you've been through yourself that has been like almost like challenging for you in the level?
100%, my friend. Yeah, 100%. So when
what was the most difficult?
Oh, so when I came to the UK, I was 23, right? I grew up in South Africa, Christian. So anything beyond Christianity, Eric, you're a fucking Satanist, mate. That's it. You do not wander outside these realms, because anything beyond that, you're going to go to hell, right? So that is the biggest thing that I had to accept in life. Like, yes, I still have my beliefs and what I grew up with. However, there is more to life out there than just this one path, right? And what I mean by that is, I'm not saying, oh, I've changed my faith and I've changed my religion and I now believe this and believe that. But once I, when I came to the UK and I got exposed to, like, I mean, if I went back in time now to an 18-year-old me and said to him, one day you are going to do plant medicine ayahuasca and you're going to love it, I will go, get away from me. You know what I mean? It'll be no, mate. None of that yet. But so for me to, when I came over, my eyes actually opened up to the rest of the world and actually realized that the world don't evolve around me as a South African. The world evolves around everyone, and everything out there has got their place in the world. And if we can live in harmony, like we said earlier, and you can accept those people, right, whether they different color to you, a different background, a different ethnicity, female, male, doesn't matter, you know. But once you accept that and you try and understand them, and that's the biggest lesson, that, or one of the biggest lessons that I've learned, is to have that compassion and open my mind. And then, do you know, one of the biggest things I've actually discovered, though, Eric, is doesn't matter what religion you believe in, 90% of it is the fucking same.
It's the same, just different stories.
Exactly.
They're all different stories.
So much of it is the same. Yes, different differences, but there's so much that's the same. And I'm just like,
I walked into a church here yesterday. I walked into a church to go look at, like, and just like feel, because the temple, the golden ratio of the church is the same temple that we have the golden ratio inside of ourselves, like the rule of Fibonacci. And I walk into the church and I'm looking at some of these things. And because I'm so connected to, like, expression and the way, like, movements, I'm looking at the statues and and the way things are done. And I'm realizing how tied down the church has been as a result of, like, them tapping in and following these egoic principles for such a long period of time. And I'm looking at the facial expressions, the way the statues are, like, carved, right? The way that they the way the expression of our brother Jesus, you know, of really connecting to, you know, the way, and then also connecting back to some of the greatness, the light of it, right? Yeah. And seeing, remembering a lot of things that allow us to come together to realize, wow, okay, I think the reason the church has been in such a, and again, I was born Catholic as well. And I always found limitations. I was like, why do I feel like so in a limitation mindset here? This doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
What I need to understand is that I'm fully expressive in my state and I want to play and dance. And, you know, it was so funny. The other day, every Saturday I host, like, the singing and dancing circle at my house, where everybody's invited, children, kids, dogs, cats, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. You're welcome to come join. And my landowner, he looks after the land here. And he's like, he walks in, he's like, we're singing, dancing, mantras, like everything. He's like, this feels like a church. It feels so holy. It feels so connected, you know? And it's because we have sacredness. Like I said, life is an altar and every moment is a prayer. And if we have the sacred connection to each of our moments and we behold each other, this is what can transform. And that is what religion tried to teach, but it was the egoic perspective of the masculine force that created separation between all of these different religions to take away from the beauty and the comfort and the grace of our creator, to recognize that we're here together to dance, to play, to sing, to have children, to, you know, play with animals, to connect with the birds, with the trees, because the real biggest temple is this planet. You know, the churches, the temples, all of this thing, it happens inside of us. And then as a result of inside of us, we create it outside of us.
100% about that. 100%. No, I agree. 100%. I love that. I love that. It's like you say, it's the synchronicity of all of it, man. It's just, once you get that going, it's like a snowball coming down the mountain. It can't be stopped, brother. It can't be stopped.
I love it. And we're here together to make it happen, dear brother. You know, like, this is it's continuing now. The snowball effect is continuing to flow. You know, you're in Scotland. I'm looking forward to meet in person, and we'll continue to like bridge these gaps, bridge these dimensions. And to me, this is a fascinating thing, because I want to continue learning, and I want to continue sharing, and I want to continue playing all together, you know. And I think the more that we play, like as a family, a united family, we can then overcome any evil, because joy overcomes all of it. Joy, yes, there's no fear that can face joy. No fear.
Not even can't even touch it. Talking about fear and joy, I watched The Alpinist last night. I don't know if you've seen that.
There's a movie called The Alchemist.
No, The Alpinist. It's a guy climbing, solo climber. So he climbs all these peaks, but he climbs them without ropes. And his name was Marc-André Leclerc. Yeah, Marc-André Leclerc, and it's called The Alpinist. I'm not going to tell you the story, but it's about the fear factor. And he's only a young kid, mate. He was like, I think he was like 22. And but he climbs he literally climbs these places without rope, literally just with his bare hands. And it's the fear factor and the enjoyment that we are just talking about now. And it's, And the joy that this kid found by having, I mean, there's this one bit, Eric, he's literally hanging off two ice axes, right? I went climbing, I don't know if you saw my latest Instagram post, I went climbing in Nevis, literally 2 days ago, 3 days ago. Thanks. And we had snow axes, and I had my crampons on, and I actually climbed short rope with a guy. But this lad, he was climbing a wall like this, right? A frozen waterfall. But in between the frozen waterfall, there was no water. So he had to go over the stone as well and stuff. And at one stage, this guy's literally got his two snow axes in the waterfall, right? Dangling, hanging his legs. And underneath him, it's like 1,000 feet drop. And he's literally hanging onto these snow axes, and he's just dragging himself up, climbing like that. And and it's like that fear factor that, I mean, my palms were sweating just watching it. I was like, I got vertigo through a telly last night. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
It's a beautiful story. But yeah, definitely watch that. It's about an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes. But it's got so much emotions in there. But the message I got from that, and I wouldn't say it's anything related. Yes, it is related to the spiritual journey and everything, but it's more of his journey and how this boy lived his life. There was no materialism involved in his life. You know, he just did not give a fuck about having money. He even had a film crew that he left hanging for about 3 months and almost lost them making the film about him, because he just wanted to go and climb and enjoy his life. But yeah, definitely watch that. It's I highly recommend watching that, just to understand that fear combined with enjoyment that overcomes everything. It's phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
I love it, man. That really resonates, especially now. It's like, it's so interesting how the mind tries to take over, even though you know everything's gonna be okay. There's this trust, but then, you know, like your mind, it turns on, right? Like, and it just wants to like take you out of state,
so much stuff.
Yeah. I think this is so, brother. Tell me, what are you up to nowadays? Like, are you traveling? Are you planning on traveling? Are you, what are you up to? What are you doing in your spare time?
So most of my travels, I literally do. Of course, my daughter, I've got a 40% of the month, more or less 40-45% of the month. So I've got her for like 4 days, and then she's with her mum for five, and then I've got her for 2 days, and then she's with her mum for three. So I can't travel too far away. So most of my travels that I do is literally around Scotland, around the UK, and the mountains I climb here. I mean, in Scotland alone, we've got 198 Monroes. Now, a Monroe is higher than 3,000 feet. 3,000 meters, yep. Something like that. Yeah, or 3,000 feet, 1,000 meters, that's it. So yeah, there's 198. So I've climbed nearly 100 of them now. I'm gonna climb all of them. So that's most of the adventures that I do. But then I'm very lucky with work because I do commercial acting and modeling. I've got a big contract with the Czech Republic and Slovakia. I do their lottery for them. I'm literally the face of their lottery. And I've done that I've done that for 7 years now. So they fly me out once a year to exotic locations like Thailand, Mexico, Mauritius, Cape Town. We haven't done Ibiza yet, but all these sort of exotic locations, we fly there for like 10 days and we film the whole year worth of commercials, online stuff, photo shoots. We do all of that in those 10 days. So in that aspect,
we have so much to talk about. It's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm that's, and do you know what, Eric? I actually manifested that job as a kid. So when I was little, oh man, I was probably 8-9 years old. And I don't know if you guys ever got these commercials in Canada where you grew up, as there was these cigarette commercials, right? And there was this cowboy that was riding on a horse and he would stop at this mountain and would light the cigarette. And they obviously made these commercials look really sort of exciting. And then he would just ride off in the sunset, right? Once he's had his cigarette there, whatever. But it always looked like this is just amazing. And as a kid, when I saw that, I wanted to be that guy in the commercial. I wanted to be that guy riding off in the sunset, but mostly be not a movie star, but I want to do that. And my main work that I do is I do photo shoots and as a model, and I do commercial acting. So mostly just film commercials and stuff. And I've done that probably for a good nearly 18, 19 years now. Wow. But like I say, the last 7 years, I've had this big contract with the Czech where I go for a week and we film this whole thing. And they pay me enough that I honestly don't have to work for the rest of the year.
So yeah, you get the focus, which is important.
In my life, you know, I've got so much spare time. I can enjoy life. And even when I do that 10 days with them, it's not work. It's something I love doing. So,
bro, yeah, I have great. Definitely after I want to share. I have some great ideas I'd love to share with you. This is really cool. I have a friend here from Slovakia, and I was just talking to a friend in Czechoslovakia or Czech Republic, sorry, about this hyperverse thing, this like really unique perspective of creating abundance for all on the cash flow side, so people can start doing what they love and still get paid for it. Uh-huh. And the fact that you're like deeply connected already to that space in a capacity, could be something that, you know, maybe we can create some ideas together or in ways to create a more abundance for more people.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Definitely email me and we'll have a chat. 100%.
For sure. So, bro, last question before you go. First of all, how can people get a hold of you if they want to connect, if they want to know more, if they want to like understand?
So my main platforms I use, I'm obviously on Instagram now, or I have been for a long time. So my main Instagram is Man From Somewhere. And then also on my Instagram in the bio, there is a link that will take people to my TikTok account, which is the same handle again, Man From Somewhere. Also my YouTube, I'm going to start growing YouTube. I've got Patreon on there as well. So what I'm doing now is a lot of my stuff that I do is I don't just do the positivity quote stuff that I do, like 15, 20 second clips. I actually do a lot of adventures as well, where I film my whole adventure if I go out. And there's a lot of them on TikTok. I've posted a few now on Instagram as well. But on Instagram, you can only do like a minute story, or you can do, I think they do like a TV thing on there as well, that you can do like a 3 minute. But I'm going to post longer ones to show the whole adventure from when I get up until I actually finish the adventure when I come back home, that I will be uploading on my YouTube. But all of those are linked in my Instagram under my bio. So if they click on that, they can find me there. But like I say, it is the Man From Somewhere.
Yeah, beautiful. Last question for you, bro, before you go. If you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
oh my God, I would just spend it with my children. I would spend it with my children. I will, yeah, 100% get my kids together and give them the choice of what do you want to do? Because they will bring everything I want to be and do in that specific moment. They will bring that out of me, and we will just have the best 3 days ever.
Hey, everyone, and thank you so much for listening to The Resilient Minds. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please make sure to go comment and like and follow us on iTunes or Spotify. And make sure, please make sure that if you really love this, to share this episode. And make sure that you're inviting all your friends to like it as we continue to unfold what the beauty of our minds does. More importantly, how powerful our heart level of intelligence can be when we combine our heart and our brain together. And more importantly, check out the alignment course that I've created. It's seriously there for you to take advantage of at www.ericbalance.com/alignment. See you on the next show.